Buckle up. Conversion rate. The 3Y podcast is on the air. In-depth analysis between the three biggest divisions in NASCAR. The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series. And now, the green flag flies from the Little Apple in Manhattan, Kansas. Podcasting to the world. It's the 3Y podcast with EG3. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's going on, everybody? Another edition, well, the special edition of the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. That is me, Eddie Greer III, here in Manhattan, Kansas, for this podcast. The World Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and of course, the Cup Series, both the previous divisions of all of NASCAR. Coming to you on this special edition of this podcast. Now, I have my special guest on the other line before I bring him on. Of course, you can find this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and a few more outlets out there. 3Y NASCAR Podcast coming to a close in 2021. Of course, I'll have my season finale come out on Christmas weekend at some point, probably on Sunday more than likely, and that will be the season finale of this podcast. I'll hand out my awards slash give you my top races from the 21 season. Now, let's get on into the special guest. After 10 days or so moving around schedules, my busy schedule, really, for the most part, really. But he's been on the show before. He was on early this year. None other than Briar Starr joins me on the 3Y NASCAR podcast this morning as we record this Saturday, December 18th, 2021. Briar, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Just trying to enjoy what's left of the offseason. It seems like as we get older, the offseason goes by more quicker. Because I saw the countdown the other day on Twitter. It's like T-minus this many days until the Ipswich season starts. T-minus this many days until the Cup season starts. Like, guys, we just got done with the season. Can we have a little bit of break? So that's what I'm trying to do. Is just trying to enjoy whatever we have left of the offseason because it goes fast.
Yes, it does. Probably more shorter of the off seasons. Yeah, I've said it before. I'll say it again. Probably more of the shorter off seasons in all the sports. Yeah, it goes by that fast. And next gen testing's been going on as of late as well. Horsepower and all that jazz. So definitely, the anticipation is going to come up very, very quickly. The 2022 season. Yeah, we're talking off air before I hit the record button. Yeah, there's been a lot of happening. A lot of odd things been going on here in Manhattan. I'm sure over in your neck of the woods, winds, weird weather, 60 to 70 degree weather in the middle of December, no snow on the ground. I'll take that any day of the week. Obviously, the snow is eventually going to come, but it's been quite the month so far.
Yeah, they always say that fall, at least when I was studying meteorology, when I was hoping to be a meteorologist, they always say that fall is the second severe weather season, and I'm like, well, that's not, it's like hypothetically, but I've kind of learned that if you lived in Kansas long enough, you're going to believe it at some point, and I pretty much believe it, like this past Wednesday when we had 80 miles per hour wind roll through, 80 degree temperature, and now it's 45 and cloudy, and it's going to be 13 tonight. It's just like, it's just up and down. It's like just Kansas weather. You can't help it.
No, you can't. Good old Kansas. Good old Kansas weather, yeah. I got done with my run this morning. It was below 30 degrees. And the winds high as 80. Of course, Fort Riley reported 94. Junction City had 90 miles per hour winds. So, yeah, and I worked through it. And we had a tornado warning here in Manhattan, Kansas, which I partly worked through thanks to my boss, supervisor. So yeah, it got crazy, but luckily, thankfully, we thankfully minor things happened, branches falling all over the place. There was a couple of big trees, but K-State did suffer some damage. A few of my friends worked on campus, and Edwards Hall suffered some roof damage in a couple other spots as well. So yeah, a few places around campus got hit, but luckily it wasn't worse than that. And I'll throw this in there. If it was this cold on Wednesday, it would have been miserable.
Oh yeah, for sure. We had a couple of tree branches down ourselves. It kind of moved everything around, like in our yards. So I saw those warnings issued on Wednesday afternoon. I was like, well, I better hurry up and grab whatever is outside that's going to be blown away. I'm like, well, I'll just go outside and bring them inside and just kind of throw it out the rest of the night, and got that blowing dust later after the front rolled through. That was pretty bad. You couldn't even see, like, probably 3 miles across the road. Like, we couldn't even see our stop sign at the road. That's how bad it was. Oh, man. Wednesday night, so.
Yeah, it was also pretty smoky, pretty bad across Junction City, of course, here, Fort Riley. It was, yeah, fires. My buddy who I work with, who is a firefighter, as I told you, off air, he had to work a little bit past midnight the other night. I'm doing, taking care of all of that. So, yeah, it got pretty crazy. But, yeah, it's been something. Kind of a weird transition. Obviously, Thursday night's game, the football game, Kansas City Chiefs, that was probably one of the more entertaining Thursday night games, in my opinion, of the season. Chiefs Chargers Part 2, the Chiefs battle through adversity, a little bit shorthanded. Your Chiefs got it done.
Yeah, it was, if you would have told me in the second quarter that the Chiefs would have come back and won that game, I would have told you that you're full of crap, because it was definitely starting to get frustrating to watch, because, you know, we were without Chris Jones, we were out with a couple other players, and that really hurt us a little bit. And, you know, then, like they always do, they kind of made a comeback in the fourth quarter, and tied the game up in overtime. I actually thought we were done with 2 minutes and 19 seconds left when the Chargers got a touchdown. I thought, are you kidding me? Like, because, like, we've been stopping them all night on 4th and 1, which that was great, you know, because we forced some turnovers. But when they got that touchdown, it's like, well, we're either going to lose, or there's a slight possibility, you know, that we could go in overtime. And, you know, they're trying really hard to get a field goal. Well, they got a touchdown with Tyreek, and then I know they were trying really hard to get a field goal with, like, less than 30 seconds left. And I'm like, well, they could try to kick a 60-yarder, but it's probably not going to go in. Even though here, the fucker is pretty – this fucker is a really good kicker.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
We had that going for us, thankfully. He can kick some pretty good field goals. And so, you know, if they wanted to, they could probably try to kick a 60-yarder, but it probably wouldn't have been successful. So, you know, took the knee, went in overtime. Chiefs get the ball. Props to Kelsey. Glad we have him, because he's kind of he kind of helps us out a lot.
Oh, he does.
I was glad for that game to be over with, and I was glad to have that game won, because I don't know how much more I would have been able to take, especially if we would have went into double overtime, because it was probably looked like that for a little bit.
Yeah, I guess NFL rules, it would have been end up being a tie, at least for regular season's concern. Now, it wouldn't have been in double overtime, because NFL, they changed those rules because, I don't know, they didn't want the game to go that long, at least for the regular season. Now, for the playoffs, it probably would have gone that direction. Obviously, the Lions and Steelers ended there early a few weeks ago. They played into a tie. So the regular season ends in a tie, and then overtime, if it's still, at least in the playoffs, concerning, if it's still tied, it'll go into double overtime. But yeah, the way that game's going, I think whoever had that ball last or got it first in overtime was going to win that game. So there's no question about that. Okay, so now kind of switching gears over to the NASCAR side. I'll get your thoughts on the overall season momentarily. But before I got on here, I read up on the odds for the upcoming season, right, to win the NASCAR championship. Obviously, Kyle Larson is the early favorite, and we've not even entered into the new year yet. 7-2, obviously, Kyle Larson, your 2021 NASCAR Cup champion, 7-2 favorite. Then, of course, Chase Elliott, 5-1. Denny Hamlin, 13-2 favorite. Kyle Busch, 8-1. William Byron, slightly surprised to see him up there, but not really because of the year. He ended the year so strong for Byron at 8-1. Truex, 10-1. Joey Logano and Blaney, 12-1 odds to win the championship next year. Breyer, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's probably pretty accurate. I mean, obviously, you don't know what the next gen car is going to bring. Is it going to equalize the field a little bit? You know, obviously, we're probably, I'm not too entirely sure on this, but we might have a string of different winners like we did to start out the year until eventually someone takes away, right? Like, that happens every year where, you know, there's going to be like five or six different winners, but then as season continues on, someone's going to catch up. You know, this year, Hendrick Motorsports had their best year, and gosh, probably since Johnson won. Well, I know Elton won the title last year, and they had a good season, but just in terms of the wins and everything, you know, I read an article the other day, and it's just like they were saying, too, like, it's one of their best years since pretty much Jimmy Johnson won the title in 2016, because we've had Joe Gibbs dominate.
Yeah,
we had Team Penske dominate, and, you know, they've kind of just been looking in the shadows, and, you know, it's not the Hendrick Motorsports team that we grew up with, right? You know, when they were dominating back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
In the mid-thousands. And so I'm like, you know, I've been reading all these old magazines, and I'm just like, geez, if people thought this was bad now, they should have been growing up with us when Jeff Gordon was dominating the early thousands.
Yep.
Because they probably would have been like, dude, can we get a different winner? So, you know, Larson's probably the favorite. You know, Diddy is getting into his later years as a driver, so it'd be interesting to see if he can continue that performance. You know, we kind of see that for drivers where their performance kind of drops off a little bit as they grow older or they get into their later years. I still think he's a championship contender, but, you know, he's been so close so many times, like, you know, is he ever going to win a championship? So, I would probably say, you know, this next year would probably going to have to be one of those years where he's going to have to win it, or, you know, he's probably never going to win it. So I definitely probably, you know, he's an interesting character. Like, he wins a lot. You know, he was like Kyle Busch when Busch was coming through the ranks, where Busch would win a lot, but something would always happen with him in the chase. And it wasn't until 2015 where, I guess you can probably put an asterisk next to it like a lot of other people do, where he finally won a championship, and then he won the championship again in 2019. So, you know, it kind of takes a little bit of years to grow into that driver to where you can know, like, hey, this is the year that I can win a championship.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'm the same with you on that, Kyle Busch. Yeah, winning that championship, coming back off a broken leg in 2015 there. Yeah, everybody has an asterisk on that one. And then, of course, Kyle comes back and wins the championship a few years later. Yeah, Denny Hamlin, yeah, he's getting up there. Even he, a few weeks ago, said that he wants to race until he's like, he wants to be Mark Martin and race until it's late 40s or early 50s. And right now, the way that it's going right now, championship-wise, he's going to be like Mark Martin. I mean, Mark Martin was the best at his craft, but did not win the championship. And Denny Hamlin has been in the championship four position, or at least championship contender for the last, several years now. And you can't, once he gets to the championship four, I just don't know. It's either a big old piece of tape on the front nose, or getting outrun by his teammates, or just strategy doesn't play into his favor. So he's had all the deck of cards.
Right. And if we look back at the Phoenix race, you know, if there wasn't that late caution with 51 to go, who's to know to say that he could have caught Truex? And I know you're a big Truex guy, but you know, who's to know, because Denny and Truex had the best long run cars, and Larson Elliott had the best short run cars, and you know, they kind of got lucky with that late yellow. Otherwise, I think, you know, Denny and Truex would have battled it out for the title at Phoenix.
Yep, that's kind of what I said a few weeks ago on this podcast. I thought Truex would probably held him off if you don't get that funky looking caution there, but unfortunately we didn't get that. We got the caution, and then things flipped. Yeah, before that, Truex caught a break there with him going down pit road to pit. The caution comes out, of course, and he got lucky. A little luck fell on our side for once there. And then, yeah, if that caution doesn't come out, yeah, it's a battle between Joe Gibbs' cars for sure there. Truex and Hamlin, really all the championship four guys were, like, battling back and forth. Chase Elliott would be leading, then the next time around, Kyle Larson would lead for a little bit, then Denny, then Martin. It seemed like everything, all the guys had a chance to win that championship. And then, of course, the five team dominated. You bring up a good point about the old school days, Jeff Gordon dominating. Even Jimmy, I'll throw Jimmy Johnson in there as well. So yeah, 10 wins for Kyle Larson, and his pit crew comes through their clutch on the pit stop, and then that pretty much won him the championship there. And yeah, Kyle Larson, while Truex and Hamlin, while Hamlin was trying to run down Truex, was the fourth final car of the championship four. So, and then you get the caution comes out, and bam, everything changes. And so really, it was a seesaw battle back and forth, that championship four in that Cup Series at Phoenix.
Right, and you know, it's kind of on the entertainment side a little bit too, when you get that plate yellow, and it's kind of, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but it's kind of like what NASCAR wanted, you know, a little bit on the late yellow side, and, you know, instead of restart with 30 to go, and, you know, kind of has that built-in drama a little bit. So, I mean, I'm kind of against that a little bit. I guess I'm old-fashioned because, you know, I grew up in the thousands, so I kind of like to see a race play out without having that, you know, late caution. And you know, back in the day, people would be probably angry with, you know, we'd get a late caution, but the caution, the race would end up there yellow because it'd be so late in the race that they wouldn't be able to restart it, you know? So, yeah, it's back and forth. I mean, it was a great race. You know, Larson was deserving champ, you know, 2 wins of the year. But sometimes it just kind of gets, you know, if we didn't have that caution, or that piece of debris, now obviously it was clear on the track, but let's just say if it was for a water bottle like we've seen in the past, then I might be a little against it. But, you know, I think the right champion won. Darcy's probably going to be a good champion for the sport next year, especially with all the new stuff that's coming along, all the new owners, it's like pretty much a new era for NASCAR next year.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
EG3 alum Brian Starr back on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. And we're here in Manhattan, Kansas for the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Yeah, he's definitely going to be a good ambassador for NASCAR for next year, yeah, you brought up all the new stuff that NASCAR is going to show off next year, obviously kicking off the year with the Clash in Southern California at the Coliseum. Man, I cannot wait for that. Also, you got Next Gen Car. A lot of people are going to have to learn about that. The new owners, excuse me, like Brad Keselowski, even though he's owned his own team before, but that was in a truck series. Now he's going to do it, partner up with Jack Roush, and I'm anxious to see how that's going to go. So yeah, a lot of new things, and a lot of these drivers, same drivers, including a few rookies, we're going to have to learn. So you mentioned the playing field being equal a little bit ago, Briar. I think it's going to be that as well. I've even said that a few episodes ago on the podcast. Now everyone has to learn, and it's going to be when the first of the year starts. I think it's going to be who hits it off the best is going to win. And I agree with you on the fact that we're going to get a lot of winners even next year with this next gen car still in the works a little bit. Drivers getting used to these different testing out these different horsepower packages and whatnot. So yeah, I think 2022 is going to be really, really interesting year. And like you said, definitely rings in a new era in NASCAR with the new car.
For sure. And you know, yesterday we found out that I believe they were going to go with the 670 horsepower. There's a little off throttle time, so that's definitely I didn't get to, I'll be honest, I'm in the off-season mood, so I didn't get to catch, or I haven't caught any of the testing, but from what I've seen, it looks like it might be a good car, but I guess we'll probably have to wait until, you know, I'm really curious to see, like, yes, at all the other tracks, but I'm really interested to see how it's going to race at, like, the Super Speedway. Talladega, you know, they're going to have a little less horsepower. So they're probably going to be bunched up for, you know, race in a pack, or like we've seen in the past, but with a new car and everything, it's going to be really, it's probably going to be a crap show a little bit, because we don't know how, you know, touchy these cars are, you know,
right, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they spin out, you know, all this sort of thing, so we're just going to have to learn that as the season goes along.
Yeah, it's going to be a learning curve for pretty much everybody, how that car reacts. And you even brought up a good point about speedway racing. That's going to work. We're going to find that out right out of the gate with Daytona. We all know that cars bunch up, but in the old school days, you usually, the car, well, especially at Daytona, for the most part, really, the car, you have to rely on handling. So that too could be thrown into play too as well. So, but lately, of course, in this era, you see all these cars bunched up. Daytona, well, Talladega's always been bunched up, but Daytona lately anyways has seen share pack racing, and obviously the big crashes and whatnot. So we are going to find out together how I'm interested to see the rules package and how NASCAR is going to operate that, especially at Daytona. You're going to have your biggest race of the year, the Daytona 500, in February before you know it. So a lot of our questions, Briar, are going to be starting to answer when it hits February for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be probably, you know, Fox deep this out the best season ever, but I mean, I'm not going to kill this out, but it might be the wildest, craziest season ever in NASCAR.
yeah, it could be unpredictable. You don't know what's going to happen now that the old generation cars no more, the new car enters, and yeah, we don't know what's going to happen. That's for sure, but we do know there's going to be some wild racing. We do know that. That's for sure. Briar, what are your favorite moments, or you have a moment from, I guess I can start from the playoffs, because it's been almost 2 months now since the checkered flag waved on the 2021 season. What was intriguing about, obviously there are moments like, of course, Chase Elliott, Kevin Harvick. What were your thoughts on the overall playoffs from this past year?
I think overall, playoffs are a little bit better this year than the past years. I mean, obviously, Kyle Larson dominated. so he seemed like he was the winner almost every week. I think what was most interesting, and it's probably forgotten a little bit, was the Chase Elliott and Harvick thing. But I think the Denny Hamlin and Alex Bowman incident at Martinsville. That was, you know, I've seen crazier things, you know, like in the past where Jeff Gordon got beer cans thrown at him at Talladega for hitting Dale's streak, you know. But, you know, Denny going up on the front bumper of Bowman when Bowman tried doing his burnout was probably the most craziest thing I've seen.
that got always Martinsville, at least since they moved Martinsville to the last. Martinsville in the playoffs has always been crazy, but since they NASCAR moved Martinsville to the second to last race of the season, we've seen some wild stuff, and that got really intense with Denny and Alex there. I had no issue with their incident at Martinsville. I had no issue with that. I thought it was hard racing. I mean, Alex Bowman he was already eliminated, I think. It's been 2 months. But yeah, Bowman, I think, was already eliminated, and he was just going out running for pride. And Alex Bowman, oh, by the way, had 4 wins this past year. So he had a good, solid season there. So yeah, I thought, I mean, Denny, I mean, you mentioned his personality. Yeah, he's gotten a little crazy here in the past few months as far as that's concerned. But we know he's a very good driver. Denny is there. But yeah, that got really intense and interesting there. And thankfully, Denny's spotter calmed him down there. And Denny was already locked into the championship four at that point, if I'm not mistaken. So the spotter saved Denny there. Use your head, and he moved on. But of course, the two of them had exchanged barbs afterwards. But yeah, Denny, well that was not the first time, actually. Alex Bowman beat Denny early on in the year. Rewind back all the way to Richmond. Denny Hamlin dominated the race and seemed like he was going to win that race, but Alex Bowman, he and his team, I think, had peeled off a fast pit stop and got out front, and then Denny restarted, I want to say he restarted just outside the top five. I'm not sure about that, but, and then Alex Bowman beat Denny there as well, so yeah. That was interesting, to say the least there. That got crazy. And who knows what would have happened there if Denny crossed the line to do something even more dangerous. But yeah, that was one of the more intriguing rivalries from this past year.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And, I kind of was thinking about this too. I think the most surprising winner this year, now, you know, when we look at the track, and it's not going to be surprising because he's expertise on this, but I think A.J. Allmendinger is probably the most surprising winner of the year at the Indianapolis Grand Prix. With the car that he was in, the colleague car, you know, the colleague was just was kind of getting their feet wet this year in the Cup Series, you know, racing with Haley. All in the dig a little bit, and I think that was probably, you know, the most probably, I wouldn't say upset, but probably the most shocking winner. But just with the name of the team, I would probably say upset winner of the year.
Yeah, and I've talked about colleague a lot lately in the off season so far, and what they have done has been pretty incredible, to say the least there. Yeah, Allmendinger's win threw off a couple people's chances to make the playoffs there. One of those drivers was Chase Briscoe. He had an opportunity to win that race. Of course, Chase is from the Indianapolis area. There in that wild sequence there, of course, involving get shocking, Denny Hamlin, the common denominator so far on this episode tonight, today. But yeah, Chase Briscoe goes off the track, gets in front of Denny there, and actually, wait a second, either it's that or Denny got spun out. Yeah, Denny got spun out, I think either before that, I can't remember, it's either one of the two times, but anyway, Denny Hamlin got knocked out of the way, spun out, and Allmendinger was pretty good. Obviously, his background, obviously, his road courses, you know he's going to be good. But Allmendinger, of course, going into that race, A.J. Allmendinger was not happy, of course, the day before because he fell short. He finished either second or third in the Xfinity Series race the day before. He was kind of bummed out about that. So he thought he had a chance to win that race and didn't get it done. Flip it to Sunday, Allmendinger. You can see and even before that, oh my goodness, the turtles coming up through the track out there, and all the wrecking that happened over there, and you can see Allmendinger's name on the rundown get up there and up there. He's in the 11th, and next thing you know, Allmendinger's 6th. Next thing you know, Allmendinger's 3rd on the final restart there. And capitalized on it. So, and now, Colleague Racing is pretty much, yeah, they're going full-time in the Cup next year with Justin Haley, like you just said, and they're sharing the 16 ride with Allmendinger, Daniel Hemric, and Noah Gragson, 3 of the 4 championship 4 contenders from the Xfinity Series. I don't know how Matt Colleague pulled that off, but damn. I mean, that's a three-headed monster right there. Of course, Daniel Hemric, your 2021 Xfinity Series champion. And, of course, Austin Cindric, he's in the 2-car, replacing Brad Keselowski, which I said earlier is running his own team. So, definitely 2022 is going to be something.
And, you know, speaking of the Hemric and Noah deal, you know, we had that little incident back in Atlanta earlier this year. So, it's just like you're kind of wondering, you know, they probably spoke and they're probably on good terms after, you know, after what happened. But, you know, it's just the way everything in NASCAR just comes full circle. You know, it's like you'll have these rivalries for a couple weeks and then, you know, they'll be working with each other on one team or something like that. So it's just like everything just kind of comes full circle a bit.
The 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with Briar Starr on a special edition of the podcast here with me as recording. It's now 10:47 on this Saturday morning, December 18th, as recording this episode. So, yeah. So, kind of to switch gears to the Xfinity Series. Actually, that's actually a perfect transition to the Xfinity Series, obviously, with that. Daniel Hemric. Before his thrilling win, I thought that was the best finish of the championship weekend. Hemric and Cindric going at it. There, Daniel Hemric just fighting all night long to put himself in the spot to win the championship. He did just that against Austin Cindric there, making contact to the line. That's old school racing. We talked a little bit about old school racing already today. That's old school there, beating Bane to the line. Again, I have no issue with that. This is the last lap of the race. And our thoughts, I've read that some people had an issue with it, but this is a championship. I mean, how how many times you're going to get this opportunity to win a championship? And Daniel Hemric has never won in any of the NASCAR cars 3-division series, the trucks, Xfinity, or Cup. And of course, remember, Daniel Hemric raced in the Cup Series as a rookie, full season with Richard Childress Racing. Apparently, it didn't work out, so Daniel Hemric was looking for a ride. The story of Daniel Hemric is something else. And then, putting all that pressure on himself to go out there and race for top fives and get wins and not settle anything less than a top 10 finish there. So that his story is just amazing to hear and watch. And the hunger of that night, Daniel Hemric showed, was something else there, and he ended up winning the championship.
For sure, you know, and he's been racing since, well, obviously he's been racing for a long time, but, you know, he's raced four full Xfinity seasons since 2017, where, you know, he's racing for Childress, and then, of course, now Gibbs, and, you know, he made the Final Four, I think, in his first or second, well, actually, he made them in the first 2 years. Last year, he did it because he didn't compete the full season. But, you know, it seemed like something would always happen, you know, like earlier this year at Atlanta, where he lined up alongside his teammate, Kyle Busch, and, or actually in front of Kyle Busch.
In front of Kyle Busch, yep.
Yep, and then, you know, it looked like Hamburg was going to get his first win. What happens? You know, he gets accidentally, well, I should say, quote-unquote, accidentally turned, because we don't know if it's a situation or not, so he gets turned by Busch, going into one, and it's kind of crazy, like I said, how everything comes full circle in NASCAR, where, you know, he's hasn't won since the truck, well, actually, he never won his truck
never
series.
Never won truck series.
But yeah, you know, it's just like, he's been so close so many times, and, you know, he's had all these top fives, top ten finishes, poles, like, you know, last lap, whatever, and it's just like, finally it all came down to the last lap, and he didn't really move Cedric out of the way, just kind of nudged him a little bit. Full bump and run, it wasn't like, you know, he died bomb and wrecked him, you know, I mean, I probably would have done that. I probably would have wrecked somebody for the championship, because, you know, it's because it's for the championship, and but it's not like he, you know, wrecked him dirty or just, you know, he just nudged him out of the way, and he just had the short run car for a few feet.
Yep, he had the best short run car. Well, I thought Austin Cindric, in my opinion, had the best short run car that night, but yeah, Daniel Hemric had a super fast long run car there as well. So Dave Rogers tuned him up just a little bit for that short run, and it paid off. I think the Xfinity Series in 2022 is going to be really interesting, because you have all these guys move up. Now, obviously, Noah Gregson is already signed. He's coming back for Junior Motorsports during a full-time schedule. So you still have him. Justin Allgaier will still be there. Brandon Jones, who signed a couple of months ago, returning to get Joe Gibbs Racing. But you're losing. Now, I don't know Daniel Hemric's situation yet. I mean, he could be back, or should be back, or not. I don't know. I do know his cup situation, so I don't know there. But you're losing Austin Cindric, who's really been dominant the last 2 years in the Xfinity Series, of course, with the championship, and was denied back-to-back championships back in November against Daniel Hemric. You're losing Cindric. Omniger's coming back. He'll be full-time. You lose Justin Haley. Haley's going full-time in Cup. We just talked about that. Harrison Burton, there's another one. He's taking over the Wood Brothers ride in the Cup Series in 2022. Mike Snyder's coming back. Let's see down here. Looking at all the names. Lena Castle's move to colleague with an opportunity. Yep. To win.
We'll also have Sheldon Creed in the number 2 RCR car. So.
That's right. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right. Sheldon Creed making the move. Former Truck Series champ. Yeah, making the move up. That's interesting. So, yeah, I feel like this. I think even with the Cup Series, with the new car in 2022, I think the Xfinity Series, it could be even wilder and more a little bit more open next year.
To answer your question about him, yes, he will be racing full-time in Xfinity Series for colleague racing next year. He'll be replacing Haley's seat, I believe. But,
I think you're right, yeah.
But, yeah, the Xfinity Series is definitely, it's probably going to be one of the more exciting seasons we've had. I mean, we've had exciting seasons like this year, the past couple of years with Tyler Reddick won the championship. It's kind of been, you know, I'm a Truck Series guy. I love the Truck Series, but it's kind of been the Xfinity Series the last couple of years. It's kind of been the best series out of the whole three. And I've kind of grown to, you know, I watch every race, obviously. I watch all three series, but, you know, I've kind of grown more on the Xfinity side. Like, man, this is kind of like the, you know, best racing out there.
Yep, that's for sure. That is for sure. So we covered Cup in the Xfinity series, and that's actually a good transition to the Truck series here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3, joined by Briar Starr, excuse me, this morning on the podcast. Trucks, Ben Rhodes winning the Truck Series Championship in 2021 with his two wins that came very early in the year. I believe there were back-to-back wins, if I'm not mistaken. 8 top fives, 16 top tens, only 99 laps led, only 2 stages won. And, of course, this was the race that, of course, I predicted that the champion was not going to win the race. Ben Rhodes passed Zane Smith with less than 10 to go there to seal his fate as a champion. What do you think about Ben Rhodes? Ben Rhodes kind of grown up a little bit throughout the year. Obviously, last year has had his rough share, definitely share of ups and downs. But this year, Ben Rhodes, I believe he turned a corner this year.
Well, you know, first I want to say I don't have my friend Bud with me here, so but you know, yeah, he's definitely. He's kind of been an interesting driver to watch since he's debuted in 2014 as a Truck Series at age 17. You know, that's obviously really young nowadays when you're making your debut. And there was probably a learning curve a little bit. And he, you know, the last couple of years, like, yeah, he's got one win per season. He's kind of like the Kurt Busch a little bit of the Truck Series. You know, here lately where, you know, you're getting one win a year, but he kind of fell off the map there a little bit, too. I think, you know, everybody kind of, you know, they didn't forget about him, but, like, he wasn't winning, and I think that was 2019, where he had no wins. There was just 7 top 5s, 13 top 10s, so he had a okay year, but, you know, he picked it up this year. You're right, he won back-to-back with the Daytona Road Course, and this really had an overall a better season with a 9.3 average finish of the year.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
And for the second, still talking about the Truck Series here on the podcast, for the second consecutive year, Zane Smith finished runner-up position in second. He is making the transition over next year, and I talked about this in one of the episodes. I can't remember a time ahead where he's going, but Zane Smith making the move from GMS Racing now. He'll be racing for, try to look for it now. I made a episode about it, but anyway, Zane Smith finished second in the Truck Series for the second straight season. Now I got it. Yeah, Zane Smith will be taking over Todd Gillen's ride next year over there at Front Row Motorsports. See, I knew it would come to me eventually. Yeah, Zane Smith, very impressive. Got into the championship for with his win, overtime win at Martinsville that year, and he was in position to win the championship for a majority of the night back at Phoenix, and then, of course, Ben Rhodes passed him there. That's going to be interesting there. Obviously, move for Smith, going from GMS Racing to Front Row, where Todd Gillen gets to move up the Cup to join Michael McDowell there. So a lot of moose shaking and baking there. And then, of course, John-Hunter Nemechek. Big year prior for John-Hunter Nemechek, but fell short of the championship. 5 wins. That was the most in series this year, with his 12 top 5s, 16 top 10s for Kyle Busch Motorsports, led 572 laps and fell short of the championship. Briar, what does John Hunter need to do next year to take steps to become the next possible champion next year?
Just continue winning. I mean, it's just plain and simple, you know. He's had, you know, last year coming from Cup, or actually 2 years ago he was in Cup. Last year he raced a little bit in Xfinity. So, you know, he you know, excited trucks this year, and it was definitely going to be interesting to watch to see what he was done after a kind of miserable Cup rookie season on the front row of Motorsports. And, you know, racing for Kyle Busch Motorsports, you're going to have the best equipment, but also you're going to have a lot of pressure, you know, on you to perform just because of the past names that have raced there, you know, like Eric Jones and all that. But yeah, he's just got to keep winning. You know, I'll stay out of trouble a little bit. You know, he kind of got caught up there a little bit on a mess at Martinsville where he went to go past Austin Wayne himself going into 3 and 4 and kind of got hooked. And he had to wait, you know, kind of like the NHRA race back in Pomona where Ron Capps had to wait to see if he was going to win the Funny Car Championship or not. He was kind of wait for the rest of the race to see if he was going to be in a champ four or not. So he's just kind of got to be just a little extra careful, a little more smarter about, you know, making those moves, knowing that, hey, you have a 52-point gap. Like, don't cost yourself, you know, going into the final race.
Yeah, so that's what he has to do there next year, and he'll be rejoined again by Chandler Smith, who ended the year with that win at Phoenix. He's coming back to Kyle Busch Motorsports as well. So, and Chandler Smith, if I believe, won the Snowball Derby. Am I right on that?
Yes, he won the Snowball Derby, and he also won at Bristol.
Yep, I remember that Bristol win. He won there, and then he had to win there to advance. He did that. And he took care of business in the season finale. So Kyle Busch Motorsports will have their two drivers back next year. So that, you know, Kyle Busch Motorsports in the Truck Series, you know they're going to be forced to be reckoned with there. Haley Diggins coming back to the trucks also next year as well. So you're going to have a lot of the same faces again, mostly for the most part, except maybe one or two drivers for next year as well. For you, Breyer, what was your favorite? You love the truck, so what was your favorite races from the past year in the Truck Series?
I think, you know, this year has been interesting. I think we've had more regular series winners this year than we had in the past. Kyle Busch did not dominate as much as he did this year, where he didn't win at least 5 a year. You know, in the past. So we've had more winners this year in terms of regular winners. I would probably say my favorite race of the year would probably have been definitely the Talladega race, where Tate Fogelman won the race and kind of crashed Nemechek there coming into the checkered flag. So that was a definitely wild race because there was barely any trucks left at the finish.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah, that was some crazy finish there in that particular race right there. So yeah, lot of trucks. Yeah, the Xfinity series for me provided the best action also, and then yeah, the trucks right behind there. The Cup races. Well, I'm gonna do my top favorite races in the season finale, so I'm not going to give anything away right now, but there are some races there that are pretty good as well. So 2022 should be interesting. Breyer, going back, kind of going back to the top of the Cup Series here for a few more minutes here on the podcast here. Cup Series, the team, you have some new teams this year with 2311 and Trackhouse Racing, and both of them came in with a one-car program. Now, you're going to go into 2022 with a two-car program now. Obviously, Ross Chastain now and Daniel Suhr joins Daniel Suhr as that Trackhouse, while Kurt Busch makes the move from, of course, Ganassi. Of course, Chip Ganassi now no longer apart. Well, he kind of stepped away from a NASCAR Cup side of things. So teams had to kind of come to a close but track house spot in Massey. So that allowed track house to get the second car. So they left, they kept Ross Chastain, pretty much promoted Ross Chastain to track house. Kurt Busch joins forces with Bubba Wallace in 2311. I think that combination, with Kurt having, for Bubba having Kurt there, the veteran, knows the way around Kurt Busch is, and a former champion of the sport, that I think that will be a good combo to have next year. And on the other side of the coin, Trackhouse, right? Daniel Suarez was flagship of that team. Daniel Suarez, he had some good runs this year for Trackhouse. And now you add in another hard-nosed driver in Ross Chastain for next season. That's an interesting combination for next year, but I think they're going to make it work. But going back to 2021, what were your thoughts, overall thoughts? Obviously, Bubba Wallace, he finally getting his first win at Talladega. There, Daniel Suarez, you know, had some growing pains, but their track house is only up and up. So what were your thoughts on these teams this past year?
You know, they definitely, you know, you're going to have growing pains in your first season. Probably not going to go out and win in your first race. You know, it's going to take a little bit. And we also had a couple of other teams like Live Fast Motorsports, and you know, they've been debuting in the Cup Series too. So, but yeah, you know, Bubba getting his first win at Talladega was definitely that was a crazy race itself. You know, with them racing against the rain. And, you know, you don't know when NASCAR's going to call it and all of that. So it was kind of a waiting game for about half an hour. And so, but yeah, it's going to be, you know, I feel like in the next couple of years, there's going to be, you know, a lot more new teams coming into NASCAR. And with, you know, with the past generation of owners kind of, getting up there in age, you know, like Joe Gibbs, Roger Penske, Rick Hendrick, and all Richard Petty. You know, next year we have Petty GMS Racing now, and so you know it's kind of going to be just a string of new owners coming into the Cup Series.
Yeah, definitely, that's for sure. Obviously, so we'll see what happens in 2022 with these teams. Obviously, there's been some good paint schemes along the way. Just came across Kevin Harvick's Gravedigger was the top diecast from 2021. That car looked good. It was the good old Gravedigger from the monster trucks. that was really a paint scheme for Kevin Harvick's car. This past season. Speaking of which, Harvick, no wins this year after a 9-win season. No wins in 2021. He kind of talked about that a little bit in the latest podcast he was on with Dale Jr. there on the Dale Jr. Download. Talked about that a little bit there. Obviously, the Chase Elliott stuff, but yeah, I mean, How weird is that? You go 9 wins a year ago, but you didn't make it to the Championship Four, which I kind of thought that where it started at. And then you come in, you struggle some more. But, you know, I think towards the end of the playoffs, Kevin Harvick, he looked pretty good, I thought, for the most part. Obviously, he was very competitive in that Phoenix race, the last race of the year. He was not a Championship Four contender, obviously, but we know his history at Phoenix is very strong there, and a couple other places, Kansas, where we were both at. He looked good, very good, towards late in the race there. So, but you know, did not win a race. So, how that's like, you win a national, you go undefeated, win a national championship, and then next year you missed the bowl game. But what are your thoughts overall on Harvick's season and really SHR for the most part? I thought, you know, with, you know, you have a champion driver, Harvick, you have a very good crew chief and Childers there. Obviously, we have Cole Custer still trying to learn the Cup Series, but now you're going to have to learn a new car. Everybody has to learn a new car. Eric Almirola really struggled until he got the win at New Hampshire. New Hampshire there, and then he was kind of on and off a little bit there. So, yeah, SHR, if they're going to get back in the mix with the Penske's, Joe Gibbs Racing, and Hendrick Motorsports for the most part, which Hendrick right now is the top of the list right now, what do they need to do? Obviously, the next-gen car is going to help those efforts, but what do they need to do?
Jeez, that's a good question. You know, they kind of basically fell off the map this year compared to previous years. You know, like you mentioned, Harvick had 9 wins last year, and probably one of his best seasons that he's ever had in the sport. But yeah, you know, no wins, and, you know, performance kind of dropped off. But, you know, he had 10 top fives, 24 top 10 finishes, but still, that's no wins to show for him, you know. And so, you know, also Cole Custer, he won that race at Kentucky last year, no wins this year, struggled pretty badly, I think. You know, Almirola had one win, and, you know, that whole team just, I don't know what was missing or what. You know, I heard that sometimes the limited parts with the parts freeze kind of hurt them a little bit. But also, you know, Hendrick Motorsports won a lot. Gibbs won a couple of races. So, it was just a really interesting team to watch this year. It's like, why they struggled so much.
And we'll see if Stutthaus Racing can get back on their feet in 2022. The 3Wide NASCAR podcast here, about to wrap things up. EG3 in the building with, of course, EG3 alum who's been on this podcast a few times now, Briar Starr. Briar, what you been up to the last few months?
Just covering the... a lot of different racing. You know, I've been covering, I think, the whole IndyCar season this year. So that was definitely fun to watch with Alex Lowe winning the title for Chip Ganassi Racing. And then I've been covering NHRA this year as well. So I just got into switching out a little bit instead of covering the same old, same old. it's kind of hard a little bit when everybody else is covering, you know, NASCAR, right? It's just like, you know, there's all these other motorsports that you want to cover, but sometimes you don't have enough time for it. So I just kind of been branching out. You know, we're going to have Supercross starting here in about 23 days. So, you know, just kind of been watching different series. I've been doing that the last couple of years, but just getting more intrigued with the different series, learning all the, well, like, you know, watched. And so just kind of keeping up with everything. So, My weekends from February through November is definitely taken up by a lot of racing. By Sunday night, I'm definitely, I'm not going to say burned out, but I'm definitely like, okay, I'm going to try to watch any racing for the rest of the week until the next weekend, so.
yeah, definitely that is a lot of racing between February and towards the end of the year, so. Man, you're covering a lot of stuff there, and good for you. Good for you for doing that, that's for sure. Speaking of IndyCar here, we'll end it with this. Jimmy Johnson going full-time and doing the Indy 500 in 2022 next year. What are your thoughts on that? We talked about Jimmy Johnson a little bit earlier in this podcast today.
I think, you know, Jimmy had an interesting year. You know, he struggled a little bit. And that was going to be to expect it. You know, you're coming from a different car, and now you got to learn a new car. You know, he came from the Cup Series, full body car. Now you're going to open wheel car, where it's much lighter compared to a Cup car. You know, a Cup car is 3,500 pounds, and any car is nowhere near that. So, yeah. He opened up the season a little bit. He struggled, but he kind of picked it up toward the latter half of the year. You know, obviously he only ran street and road courses, and so it's definitely going to be interesting next year to watch to see if how he will do racing the full season, and if he can make the Indy 500. You know, like, there's no guarantees for any driver to make the Indy 500. So, if he doesn't make it, I'm not going to be shocked, because just the fact that IndyCar is such a new learning curve for him, and how much, like, he struggled. He didn't get a top, well, he never got a top 15, but he didn't finish. He got his best result at 17th twice at the Laguna Seca and Long Beach for the end of the season. And so, yeah, it's definitely been quite the roller coaster ride for him.
Yeah, definitely. First year, yeah, Jimmy Johnson. Yeah, he definitely looked like he was struggling a little bit, trying to adjust, which is going to happen with moving, you know, different NASCAR series. You go from not being a dominant driver in the Cup Series to struggling in the IndyCar Series. So now he's got some experience underneath his belt now, and it'll be interesting to see how he does in a full-time schedule next year down there in IndyCar Series. That's for sure. But still, you know, he's dealing with a lot of top talent over there still. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see what he can do against those guys on a every race basis now.
For sure, it's I'm definitely gonna be intrigued to see if he grows, if he gets better or gets worse. You know, I mean, I feel like he still has a lot of drive left in him, but you know, we don't know how many more years he's gonna have left in terms of being a race car driver.
Yeah, we don't know. We do not know. Only Jimmy does. That's for sure on that. All right, Briar. I'll leave you with this. Obviously, we're in the middle of the holiday season. We got Christmas around the corner next weekend. Next Saturday, Christmas. And then obviously, a few days later, the New Year's will hit. And then before you know it, the 2022 season will be upon us. Any other plans you have in store, off-season plans in store for you guys before the year hits?
You know, no, not really. Just kind of been relaxing and preparing for the 2022 season. You're gonna, you know, obviously we talked this week. You're gonna go to the K-State men's basketball game the same night as the bowl game. So that'll be my, I think, first basketball game in over 2 years, because, you know, obviously COVID last year kind of prevented some of that. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. It's kind of a Christmas present for me, so, especially with the $1 tickets and everything. So, obviously, just trying to get people to come, because I understand, you know, the bowl games that night.
Yep.
I hate to say this, but I don't think, you know, I mean, as much as I want to swing, I just don't see it happening, because they're playing LSU. And so, I think that's the first quarter, but I feel like we're gonna, I think, unfortunately, I think K-State's gonna get destroyed. So, but yeah, you know, no really plans for the rest of the year. You know, I was trying to get some, you know, interviews lined up from former Busch Series owners, but you know, it's kind of hard this time of year with the holidays. No interviews for me probably for the rest of the year, unless something crazy happens. And I probably won't be having any interviews until, you know, once we get past January 1st, probably not until like the second or third week of January. So but yeah, no plans for my side. I'm just kind of enjoying what's left of the offseason.
Yeah, and you're not the first person that has said that to me about LSU. Well, obviously, LSU hasn't had the best of years. I've watched my share of SEC games, my roots from the South. So, yeah, listen, LSU, K-State, they're losing transfers. Both teams are losing transfers, and the name it's an intimidating name because of their success, obviously. But yeah, they've been up and down this year. LSU has. But yeah, K-State has its struggles too. You know, having a chance to win a couple of games, they should have beat Texas. That's a whole other podcast I can get into.
Right.
But yeah, so I mean, that on the same night, you're gonna be at the basketball game, the bowl game, obviously that same night, the Tax Act Texas Bowl. I don't know why I have that as a sponsor. I don't know, but anyways, yeah. That's an intriguing game for K-State on the football side of stuff, so it's going to be interesting, that's for sure, and with all the questions surrounding the football team, one of them got answered this week with Adrian Martinez, former Nebraska quarterback coming to us now, so I thought that was really exciting, to be honest.
Yeah, this year was definitely kind of a frustrating year a little bit. You know, we opened up the season. I was at the first game of the season for the K-State. I can't remember who they played, but I was at the first, I think it was Southern Illinois, not really too entirely sure.
That was the first home game. I was there we were supposed to meet. Things just kind of got a little sidetracked there, but that was the first home game because Stanford was the first actual game, and then Southern Illinois was the second game.
Right. So, you know, that was probably a crazy year, just, you know, at the first whole, quote unquote, whole game of the year, with Thompson getting hurt, leaving early, and barely winning that game. The game that should have been probably a blowout, but it was kind of been one of those frustrating years. It definitely makes it frustrating for watch because you want the best for your team and you want them to win. And I think finishing 7-5 is something that they probably didn't want. You know, I feel like we could have been 9-5 because, like you said, we should have won against Texas. We get probably one other game in there that they should have won against, but they didn't. So, yeah, the bowl game should be interesting to watch, but, it was definitely a frustrating year as a Wildcat fan.
All right, folks. Briar Starr here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Briar, it's been fun chatting with you finally after a week of trying to get our schedules to match up together. Briar, again, I appreciate you again for being on the podcast again, and I'm pretty sure we'll be chatting off the podcast as well about K-State and whatnot, and I'll definitely have you back on at some point before the clash at some point.
Yep, I definitely appreciate the invite.
Podcast with EG3. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your sports podcasts. Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time. Going 3 Wide.